these thoughts and you say, where in the world did that come from? Certainly it didn't come from me. And many times that's the voice of God. The Bible says God's been speaking from the very beginning and he continues to speak. We have this idea that we're these sinners that just, you know, God wouldn't possibly speak to us. But the fact is that in your spirit, you're righteous. We talked about that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have a receiver within you. It's called your spirit. And just like you'd have a radio receiver that would receive a certain frequency, the receiver in you is your spirit. So you have a receiver. You can hear from God. But you have to listen, for one thing. He guides us through a lot of different ways. He guides us through circumstances. He guides us through reading the Bible, and suddenly something will just jump out at you, and you know it's God speaking to you. You can listen to the preaching of the Word of God, and God can speak to you. On Sunday morning, I always check our radio stations where I'm on, just to make sure they're on there. And so I was listening to myself this morning, and God spoke to me through my own message. It was kind of interesting, encouraged me in an area in my own life that I needed this morning. Just from hearing the Word of God, doesn't make any difference who's teaching it. So it's kind of interesting. And he also guides us through, you know, just feeling peace in your life sometimes. Sometimes your conscience will speak in a way that you know that God's speaking. He certainly, anything in the Bible where God spoke, he can speak in that way today. But most of the time it's a still small voice, but sometimes he speaks through dreams. Sometimes he speaks through visions. Sometimes he speaks through a prophetic word that comes from somebody that you know. Sometimes he can speak by angels. There's a voice of angels. You see that all throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, where angels speak to people. I remember one time I went to a conference and I hadn't been saved very long, and I knew about the Bible, of course, and I knew it was God's Word. I'd been told it was, and I believed it. But at this conference, they started talking about God can speak to you through your mind and all these various ways I talked about. And, man, I just sat there in awe. I said, my goodness, you mean God can speak to me in the same way he spoke to Moses or spoke to Elijah or spoke to the Apostle Paul? And you'll find out that's true. You think about the Apostle Paul and you think about, oh man, he had it together. He started all these churches. He did all this work. But there were times when the Apostle Paul got so discouraged that God had to show up and speak to him. There were several times where Christ himself showed up because the Apostle Paul got so discouraged and so down that God had to talk to him personally. And so if the Apostle Paul had to have that, then you and I have to have that.
Right.
Are you listening to me? It's not that he always comes when things aren't going well, because many times he speaks when things are going great. But the issue is that God speaks. The difference between religion and Christianity, one of the differences is that Christianity cleans you up on the inside. Religion cleans you up on the outside. That's the difference. It's kind of like a story. I don't know, most of you are not as old as I am, but when I was growing up as a kid, we used to go out to my uncle's farm and he had a pump. He had to pump the water. They didn't have indoor water or any of that stuff. And so they had a pump. And you'd go outside and you'd pump the water you needed and you brought it in the house. Whether it was winter or summer, it didn't make any difference. You went out with a bucket, you got the water, you brought it in. Well, there's a story about a guy that bought a farm and he had a pump on that property. And He started to go out one morning to pump the water, and the neighbors came over and he said, "Don't you know that well is poisoned? If you drink that water, it'll kill you." Well, he thought about it for a while, and he said, "I know what I'm doing. I'm going to clean up this well." So what he did was, there was a wooden box around the well there, and it was kind of deteriorated and didn't look good, and he tore that box out, and he put a new one in. The well leaked just a little bit, and he fixed that leak, and then he painted the whole thing, and boy, it looked good on the outside. And he said, "Now I'm ready to drink that water." It was the same water that was in there before. All he did was clean up the outside. And if he had drank in the water, it still killed him. And that's what people don't understand. Religion teaches people that you're okay if you clean up the outside, but if you just leave the inside like it is. And you know, the Bible says just the opposite. God wants to clean up the whole well. He wants to give you a new well within you. Now that's what I'm talking about, because this new well is where you're going to hear from God. You're going to hear God from that new well. That new well that's in you is the Holy Spirit that comes to live within your spirit. And that's what happens when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It has to be a personal thing between you and God. And once you receive the Holy Spirit within your spirit, which happens at salvation, then you can hear God. And you should hear God, and you should want to hear God. And you should ask to hear God. But there's two different ways. Well, there's several different ways God speaks. We just talked about this. But there's two categories of the Word of God. The first one's the written word, and the second one's the spoken word. When I got saved, I'd never heard of the spoken word of God. I'd only heard of the written word of God. Now, the written word of God is called the Logos. It's called the Logos. It emphasizes the content, the information, all of the various true stories in the Bible, the future, as in Revelation, and all that in the Bible. It's written down for us to read, and that speaks to our mind, which if we speak out loud, will speak to our heart. And that's why we talk about reading the Word of God out loud. Now, God wants to clean up the inside, but you're not going to have the inside cleaned up unless you hear from God, to be honest with you. And so there is something called the Rhema of God, which is the spoken Word of God. It is the spoken Word. The written Word's the Logos. The Rhema Word is the spoken Word. And so it's important to know that we have both from God. If you just have one, you only have half of it. And we want it all. Now, when you are reading through the Scriptures, it's the Logos. But if you're reading through the Scriptures and suddenly a Scripture jumps out of you, how many ever had that experience? You're reading the Word of God and something just jumps out and you know that's God speaking to you? That's the Rhema Word of God. So the written word becomes the spoken word when it jumps out to you, or God speaks to you and say, "This is for you." And you just know it inside that what you're reading is for you for that day. That's why we take in the word. It's called the food for the spirit. If you never feed your spirit, then your spirit lies dormant. You never accomplish what God wants you to in this life, which will bring rewards in the next one. We've been talking about that. But we need both. We need the written word of God and we need the spoken word of God. Now, the Bible is necessary because it is our standard. Everything we hear and everything we do ought to line up with the written word of God. That's like in the Smithsonian Institute or one of those places, they have a standard for a measure of 1 foot. Everything, every foot is measured by that one that's in that institute. And if it's longer or shorter, it's not a foot. Now, we measure everything we do with the Word of God. If you hear a word that doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's probably not from the Lord. It's probably not from God. So you have to have a standard, and you have to learn how God responds to people and acts in people's life. And that's why you study the Bible. You also can find the future and so forth in the Bibles I talked about before. In the New Testament, the word logos is mentioned 331 times. The word rhema word is mentioned 70 times in the New Testament. And that is the spoken word of God. Now, so rhema is the way the Bible was given in the beginning. It was rhema, and it was given to the various people that wrote the Bible down. It was a rhema from God, and when they wrote it down, it became the Logos. And then when we read it and speaks to us, it becomes rhema again. It's really quite interesting. And how the Word of God, the Bible says, is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So if you read the Bible and it speaks to you, that's God speaking to you. And that's one of the ways that He does it. Now, so God wants to communicate with us. How's He going to lead us if He can't communicate with us, not only in the written word, but also the spoken word, because the written word doesn't give you details on everything you're going to be doing today. So if God wanted to instruct you to go to somebody's house and pray for them or call somebody up and encourage them, you wouldn't find that in the Word of God for today. You have to get that word from God. And if you ever just had a thought, you just hadn't thought about it at all, and all of a sudden, call so-and-so. That may be the Lord speaking, the rhema word of God, for you to call that person because they need a particular word at that time. Now, that's how God speaks to us. That's one of the ways He speaks to us. But the issue is, our minds take in the written word, and then our spirit receives the spoken word. And that's the way it works. Go to Acts chapter 5 and verse 20. Acts chapter 5 and verse 20. What I'm teaching today is extremely important because you need to know you can hear from God and you should be hearing from God. Now, I know some people do not like to read. But you need to read. You need to make yourself read the Word of God. However slow that is or however fast it is, you need to make yourself read the Word of God. Now, Acts chapter 5 and verse 20. Now, this would be a rhema word of God. This was a command. It says an angel, the angel came to Peter, got him out of prison. And the angel said to him, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." He was talking about eternal life. He was talking about salvation. The angel got him out of jail, told him to go to the temple and start speaking the word of God. That's the rhema word of God. He got a rhema word of God from the angel, and he was supposed to give a rhema word of God to the people in the temple. And that's the spoken word of God. And that's what we're talking about here. Now, how do you know it's God's voice when you hear one? Normally, it's just a still, small voice inside of you, but sometimes it sounds like a spoken word. It's kind of interesting. In Isaiah, it says, "Now listen carefully, because I'll be behind you and I'll speak." That's what God said. And have you ever heard a voice say something, you turn around and nobody was there? Yep. Did you ever have that experience? Well, depending on what was said, it may be the Lord. I've had that experience. And I'm not telling you this happens every 5 minutes in my life, because it doesn't. Be nice if it did. But the fact is, every thought, you have to discern every thought that comes into your mind, because your thoughts can come from three different places. And you have to know where these thoughts came from. I'm talking to everybody. Every thought that comes to your mind is not from you. And it's also not from God. And that's where people make a big mistake. People have done some of the dumbest things because they had this thought in their mind. They thought it was God. Well, if you're not sure, you better find out sure. And I'm going to tell you how to make sure. But the issue is this. Thoughts come from three different places. They come from the Lord, they come from you, and they come from the devil and his demons. All three of those can put thoughts into your mind. That's why people do some of the craziest things, and they go out and kill somebody and they say, God told me to do it. Did you ever read that in the paper? You've had people say that. Well, that person had no clue whatsoever that they were listening to demonic powers. Because Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So every thought you have that it has to do with stealing, killing, or destroyed is probably from the enemy. Now, it can be from you if you have anger and all that stuff in your heart and you haven't got it out of there. You can develop those thoughts yourself. But the fact is, very simply, not every thought in your mind is your thought. Satan cannot read your mind, but he can speak to your mind. He has that ability. He can't make you do anything, but he can speak to your mind. And so, you wonder why people do what they do. A lot of people said, that have attempted to commit suicide, they said, a voice told me to do it. Well, what voice was it? It wasn't God. I'll guarantee you that. It's still killing and destroying. It was probably the enemy. And you'll find that a lot of times when you're getting ready to do something for God and you know what you're supposed to be doing and you get up that morning and have some of the awfulest thoughts you ever had in your mind in your life. And a lot of times you'll wake up with horrible thoughts and you say, where did that stuff come from? Well, it didn't come from God. And it probably didn't come from you. Where did it come from? So we have to be careful. You know, what Satan likes to do is to get you to own every thought you have in your head. Like it came from you. And that's why people get all these weird thoughts and they say, my goodness, I must not be a very good person. I got all these strange thoughts in my head. That has nothing to do with anything. What Satan does, he'll give you these weird thoughts and then he will try to get you to own them like they came from you. And pretty soon, what will be coming out of your mouth? You'll be speaking the things of Satan out of your mouth. You'll be speaking destructive things. You'll be speaking things that want to hurt people because you think it's really you. Well, that's just the way I am. Anybody ever say that? Did you ever hear anybody say that? That's just the way I am. Not necessarily. That might just be Satan's put a bunch of junk in your mind and deceived you into thinking it's you. He has that ability to do that. I want you to listen to me. And that's why you can't judge people, because sometimes they've been listening to the devil, been listening to something else. They'll say something absolutely hurtful or stupid, and what you do then is pray, because that may not be them, but they may think it is, you see. And so Satan will try to get you to own some kind of sickness. Are you listening to me? So the things I'm saying today didn't come from me. They come from the Word of God. They come from God. This may save your life. That's how important it is. You can just say, well, you know, my mother had this problem and my grandmother had this problem. Now I got the problem and I guess I'll just have to live with it. Oh, no. Absolutely not. It's a family curse. You need to stand against that in the name of Jesus. The mind is the battlefield of your life. The mind is the battlefield of your life. That's why it's important what you put into your mind and then what you speak out of your mouth. Because the seeds are planted in your mind and then you speak those seeds out of your mouth and they'll grow. Good, bad, or whatever. And some people just keep right on going, planting the bad stuff, planting bad stuff, planting bad stuff. And then they'll say a year later, I don't understand why these things are happening to me. I just don't understand why these things are happening to me. Well, you're planting them in your life because you're speaking them. And you've been deceived by the enemy to believe all of this stuff. And it's just like I say, you watch enough soap operas, you'll think, well, it's okay to go out and have an affair. I mean, put whatever you put in your mind is what you, is what is going to happen. And if you let those things have these fantasies in your mind and all that kind of stuff, and it's if it's something that's going to steal, kill, and destroy, it came from the devil. Didn't come from you, necessarily. And it certainly didn't come from God. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. And you should have this marked in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. We've been through here before, but we're going to be here again because this is extremely important. Now, this talks about the very thing I just said. That's why I'm telling you, I'm teaching you the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. That's in your mind, these things in your mind. Strongholds and imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, in other words, is in conflict with the Word of God, bringing into captivity, this is what you need to underline, bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. In other words, you need to run that through the x-ray machine of God. You need to run your thoughts through the Word of God. You need to run your thoughts through the Spirit of God. Because, as I say, your thoughts can come from three places. From the devil and his demons, from you, or from God. Now, we're concentrating on hearing from God, but I want you to understand that this is possible. This is every single person living and breathing right now. You have to evaluate your thoughts that go through your mind and don't take anything that floats along through your head. As some people say, goes in one ear and comes out the other. But the issue is, the only thoughts that are going to affect your life are the ones you receive and speak out of your mouth. Everybody has bad thoughts at one time or another. Everybody has thoughts from the enemy. I don't care who it is, if it's Billy Graham or anybody else you think's a wonderful Christian. They all have wrong thoughts in their head because that's the way the enemy works. Now, a wrong thought in your mind is not sin. It's only sin if you entertain it, muse over it, meditate upon it, and eventually speak it. Because what you speak, you're eventually going to what? you're going to do that in your life. If you think it, speak it, then comes the doing of it. That's why we speak the Word of God, we read it out loud, because we're eventually going to do what we're speaking out of our mouth. That's the way it works. Why do you think when you're, it used to be, they don't do this too much anymore, unfortunately, they'd have pledge allegiance to the flag and pledge allegiance to the United States of America. And why'd they do that? They had to say it out loud because it'd become a part of you, called patriotism. And it'd become part of you because you recited it out loud. Why do you think in the grade school you recited things out loud? Because your ears would hear it and it'd become a part of you. And that's why it's important what kind of music you listen to, what kind of programs you watch, what kind of movies you go to will determine what your life will be like. Do I hear an amen? You see, these things are serious. Now, I know there's Bible thumpers that are against everything. I'm not against anything. I'm just telling you that what you put into your mind is what you're going to become. If I like I say, we go to garage sales, we go into somebody's garage, they got 50 books they want to sell, and all of them are novels or love stories. What do you think that person's going to think about all the time? You know, our minds are empty vessels to receive these things. Your mind's like a blank page until you start getting thoughts into your mind. It's like a computer. What you put in is going to come out. It's not any different. Nothing's going to come out of a computer you didn't put in there unless it's a virus or some dumb thing. But the issue is that we have to understand the person that controls their thoughts and mouth will control their life. But it will control their life. That's why some people say, well, that person's out of control. Why are they out of control? They got all these weird, crazy thoughts running through their mind 100 miles an hour. And they're doing all kinds of crazy things. And many of them end up in institutions very simply because they didn't filter the thoughts that went through their mind.
That's right.
I'm talking about the Bible here. This is right from God. And some people think, well, you know, I'll just take anything I want to, and, you know, it doesn't make any difference. I'm strong enough. I can handle it. No, you're not.
Right.
Yes.
I have a relative.
Yes.
I went on Facebook, looked up on a boyfriend.
Yes.
She's not divorced.
Yes.
And pregnant with his boyfriend's baby.
Yes. I don't know if you heard that. There's a lady went on Facebook. You're familiar with that if you know anything about computers. You can talk to people. She looked up an old boyfriend, decided she wanted to get a divorce. Now, I don't know if she's married or not to the boyfriend, but she's having a baby by him, and it has her life all messed up. Why? Because she just, well, I'll just get on there and kind of look around and mess around, you see. And she did, and now her life's a mess. So that's what we're talking about. If you say you're a Christian, you need to control what goes through your mind and comes out of your mouth. It's just that simple. Because that's going to, you know, if you hear somebody saying GD every other word, you can pretty much determine that they are out of control and all that kind of stuff, because that's just the way it is. And probably do not know the Lord, for sure. And you have to understand, we're like an empty cup that's being filled up with things all around us, and we have to determine what goes into your life. If you want to drink some water, you want pure water. You don't want an ounce of arsenic in there. You know? You want pure water. You have to determine what your mind's going to get into. And if you're having all kinds of weird fantasies and dreams and crazy stuff, well, then I tell you, you're probably not hearing from God. You see. And so, now, it's either Satan, God, or ourselves. Now, the interesting thing is, if we're Christian, God lives in us. I talked about that before. So since God is in us, we don't have to go to heaven to be around God. He is in you if you are a Christian. You see. He is in your spirit, so it's easy to hear from God. And many times you'll just have some spontaneous thoughts just coming to your mind, and you have to evaluate if these things are from God, if they're from you, or if they're from the devil. You have to do that constantly on a daily basis. We are at war, you see. Now, some people choose. You know, in Vietnam, they said, well, you know, this isn't really a war. It's police action. So there was a whole lot of people that our nation was at war, but they decided they're going to put that out of their mind. They weren't going to think about it. They weren't going to have anything to do with it. It's like it wasn't happening. And then they go on. But we were at war. Now, I'm telling you, from Genesis chapter 3, man has been at war with Satan. Now, you can ignore it if you want to and you think it doesn't happen. I'm too good for... I know the difference when Satan's talked to me. You don't know if you're not in the Word of God and you're not speaking God's Word. You don't know when Satan's talking to you. Yes, ma'am.
I've got some things to share with
you. Okay, we can share right now.
I keep a manila pad in my bathroom. And whenever I hear God say something, I write it down. And when it's God's voice, it's sweet, it's gentle, and most often it's uplifting. During my marriage to my second husband, he isolated me, and we were living far, far away from my family. I had stopped going to a Bible-believing church and went back into my denomination. I was all by myself, and the abuse got worse and worse, physical and whatever. And I heard this voice in my head. She killed herself in Phoenix, but it was all right. She killed herself in Phoenix, but it was all right. It was a lulling voice, like trying to convince me. The part of me that knew Christ said, how strange that this voice keeps rolling in my head. I had been isolated. I'd left my church. I was away from my family. I was away from the Word of God. And there was Satan ready to take me. There was a lady on Christian TV about 3 days ago. She was talking about that she had been divorced 2 times, which spoke to me of my life. And she was telling her story, abuse and whatever. And at the end, she said, I am a trophy of the mercy of God. And God said to me, you are a trophy of my grace. Because from all of that, here I am, married to this beautiful man. And I write these things down. He said, you are a trophy of my grace. This is what grace can do for you. But I also have to tell you that God tells me things that I'm not happy about, too. I made some remarks to a family member. The family member got upset, and God told me to apologize. Now, I said, God, they deserve to hear what I had to say. And God said, apologize. Well, of course, I dismissed that thought. Just kept coming back. Apologize. Apologize. I could not get that word out of my head.
I didn't feel I should apologize. Arguing with God. I didn't do anything that I needed to apologize for. I could not. It would not leave. Wrote a note, mailed it. Now the voice is gone. I did the right thing, and I have peace again. Those are just some of the things that God has said to me, but I keep a pad close where I can run in the bathroom. I don't share them with Jerry. They're my personal words from God. But they're always sweet. They're always encouraging. They always just make me feel like somebody is holding my heart and hugging me. And I'm listening all the time to hear what he has to say. That's all.
Okay. So that gives you an idea of what we're talking about here. And you need to write these things down. She did write something down the other day, and she wasn't sure about it, and she wanted to know if it was God, so she brought it to me, and I read it, and I said, yes, that's definitely God. I don't think we can always trust ourselves. Sometimes we need somebody we can trust that we can talk to share when we have some thoughts in our mind, we're not sure where they came from. Then you need to have a trusted person you can share that with, and that way you can get help on these things, because that's a lot of times why people go to counselors. But the issue is you should have a person you can trust to share your thoughts with as to whether or not, and that, you, that you're not embarrassed about, that whether or not they're from God. Now, I'm running out of time, and I'm going to have to quit here in a minute because we have the Lord's Supper. But I'm going to continue this because there's a whole lot more to it. And you have to understand, I've always heard people say, I never hear from God. I'm going to tell you right now, that's not true. That is not true. God is speaking all the time, and you need to write some of these things down. Now, if it's to kill, steal, or destroy, it's not God. Unless he says, take something out of your life, it shouldn't be there. But the issue is, if you're not sure sometimes, you need to ask somebody. I've told that story a million times about this guy who said he took a nap and he had a dream, and God told him to buy a bar, a tavern. And he did, and got in all kinds of financial trouble, had to declare bankruptcy, got a divorce. It was a mess. And after the fact, he came to me and he said, can you believe he actually said, do you think that was from God?
Oh, yeah. Right on.
I said, I can tell you one thing from sure, that was not from God. I don't know about the rest of that stuff that happened, but I'm going to tell you that was not from God. But people can believe that things are from God. It's from them when it's from the devil. It's just amazing the things people do. And afterwards, when they get into a mess, then they'll get a counselor or ask for help. And I think that's a good idea. You probably should. But the point is, you need to have somebody you can trust, whether it's your husband, wife, or friend, that where are these thoughts coming from? And why am I having these thoughts? Because I have weird thoughts every once in a while, and I have to get them out of my mind and get my focus on Jesus so I can continue what I'm doing. I don't think you ever get to the place in a Christian life where the Satan doesn't throw something in there. In fact, probably the closer you get to God, the more of it you have.
That's right.
The battle gets stronger the closer you get to God, because Satan doesn't want you to have a relationship with God on an ongoing daily basis. But God does.
Right.
And that's why you're saved, to have a relationship with God. It wasn't just to do your own thing for a few years and then go to heaven. It wasn't that kind of a deal. And so each one of us should spend time with the Lord, be able to determine where these thoughts are coming from. Anybody else hear from God fairly regularly? Okay, how do you hear from God?
Comes
to your heart, just to kind of inside, you know it's God, something.
My heart tells me.
Yes, your heart tells you and it's God, okay? How does that happen with you? Same thing, okay? That's the way most of it is. Anybody else want to share? Yes.
When I'm reading God's word, He really speaks to me.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. But it's a good idea to write it down. They call it journaling. Have a notebook and just write these things down, because you'll see those things will come to pass in your life. It's interesting. Yes.
You know, recognizing what you're hearing. For many years, I had lost track of a very close friend of mine when I was in my wild and younger days. And for years, I sought that girl. Everything I could think of to find out where she was. Finally, she came back into my life just a few months ago, and it was not a good thing. That girl is still deep in sin and wanting to take me back down with her.
Oh, yes.
And I knew the minute that she started talking about going to bars with her and the guys and all this stuff, I said, I told her, I said, Joyce, I don't live that way anymore, and I don't want to hear it. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, right. No, no, that's right. Yes. Pat, did you have something? Okay. Well, you get the general idea. We're going to close right there. We're going to have an invitation now and to let God work here.